Today's scripture is from Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 through chapter 2, verse 10 on page 88 in your pew Bible. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become too far numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Sarepta and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do, and they let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at the distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt so sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Carol. So our message this morning is going to come out of Romans 12. Verses 1 through 8. If you would join me, Paul writes, well, starting at verse 1 in chapter 12. Paul writes, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions, so it is with Christ. We, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy, and according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do thank you once again for the opportunity to come to serve you. We pray that you would open hearts and minds here this morning so we might have a clear will of what we are to do with our lives, how we are to spiritually worship you, to be living sacrifices. We do thank you and we praise you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, it's really nice to be back in front of this motley looking bunch. I do want to thank you all for the prayers that you've bestowed upon me. And we had a couple of tough weeks here lately. And I appreciate all that who stepped up and just kind of took hold of this church family and supported one another. But as I got thinking about that, and as I got reading the message this week, I got so many thoughts went through my mind. And you know me, when I have too much time away from you, I have way too much information, so it's hard to whittle it all down. So if we're here at 4 o'clock, you might want to jump up and say, it's time to leave. But I thought about this, and when I got thinking about this scripture, I thought about, what is a living sacrifice? And one story I have in my back of my mind, I thought, well, I better write this down. I think about the time a little girl was sitting at the end of a pew, and it was time for the offering. And she had just come from a Sunday school class, and the teacher had been teaching about Romans 12, 1 and 2, about becoming a living sacrifice. So when the offering plate came to her, she took a hold of it, and she set it down alongside the pew and jumped in it. Well, usher, he was just a little bit confused. And he looked at her and says, little girl, what are you doing? He says, well, this is what they taught us in Sunday school, to offer ourselves to be living sacrifice. And you know, she was right. She had the right idea. What is it to become a living sacrifice? The more I thought, thinking about this, and I got studying, I thought, we really need to be able to be that, be able to understand what verse 1 is telling us here. We have to first be able to understand and live verse 2. Let me read verse 2 to you again. Paul writes, he says this, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, I always kind of like this first part. He says, do not conform. Hey, I like that. I was born in the 60s. What was going on then? Boy, there was so much rebellion going on then. It was during the time of Vietnam. David knows this. I mean, if you weren't rebelling and being a nonconformer, there was something wrong with you if you were a teenager in them days. But as I thought about that, and I thought about the guy who was writing this, so Paul was writing this. Remember, he told us that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Well, they were the ultimate conformers. And yet he's telling us to be nonconformers. So what was he really talking about? How are we to become nonconformers? I think because at that point, Paul realized what we needed to have to be truly at peace and to be in the will of God, to truly become living sacrifices. So what do we need to do? We need to become nonconformers, maybe You know, we not seek everybody's approval, because what is the approval of the world? We're meaning nonconformists of the world. There's a world, what's that teach us? It teaches we all got to have a big house, brand new car. You know, we got to be self-centered. We got to be expected to get applause for everything we do. But what is Paul really teaching us about here is about becoming humble, becoming servants of others. So I was reading a study from Yancey Phillips, or Philip Yancey, and he was talking, he was writing an article about people that he had sympathy for and those he found out he envied. He got to writing about stars and servants, and he talked about the stars and how they gained all this applause and they had everything they wanted in life, it seemed like. Seemed like they were the people we all wanted to be, the people that were on TV. We see in their famous sports athletes and all that. And yet, when he got to researching them and he got to interviewing, found out of all the troubles they had in their marriages and in their lives, they were truly not happy. Even though they'd gained everything from the world, they still couldn't find the peace that they needed. And he felt sorry for them. And so when he got to looking at the servants of this life, those were people who maybe served in Bangladesh as a missionary or gave up their lives to translate the Bible, or those who just worked long hours for low pay just so someone else could have an opportunity. He said he began to envy them because they seemed to be able to have peace, to find peace. They knew what it was to live in Christ, to be, really, to be a servant. So the more I thought about that, and I got looking into it, and I got thinking about this living sacrifice business. So what is a living sacrifice? I looked it up in the dictionary. So, and you wouldn't think you'd have to look up words like that. You'd think we all know what living means, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think we'd all know what sacrifice means? But I looked it up, and I want to read to you what I found. So it said, so a living sacrifice, it told me that it's the act or the condition of a person or a thing that lives. That's what living means. How many of us really live? The act or the condition of a person or a thing that lives. It's the living is through the means of maintaining life. So I want you to think about that. So he's talking about a living sacrifice. So in order to live, you got to be able to do something, right? It's not, you're not going to sit on a stool and just, that's not really living. The living is action. So what is sacrifice? So I look sacrifice up and it says it's a surrender or the destruction of something prized for the sake of something considered more valuable. Now think about that. So we got to be willing to go into action and be willing to give up something for something else that is more valuable. So as I thought about that, you think, so the real question is, so are you willing to be a living sacrifice? Do we, if we really know what that is? And is that living sacrifice your way of worship? How do we do that? Well, Paul tells us still here in verse 2, he says, do not conform to the patterns of the world. So we talked about that, but it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the more I thought about that, I got thinking about renewing your mind. What does that really mean? How do we renew our minds? So then I got to think, the world around us is changing. How many of us have renewed our mind in which seat we're going to sit in the pew here? Huh? Looks like I see a lot of people renewed their thinking on this. They actually came inside, sat in the pews, and in different ones. Or have we adjusted to wearing masks? I have a hard time with wearing masks. My mother tell you, and she just passed because she can't tell you anymore, but I was the most stubborn child. She'd never dare tell me no to do anything because I was going to do the opposite. And it's like when we were told first that you got to wear masks no matter what you do when you go into a building, when you're close with each other. And I have a hard time conforming to that change. I'm such a nonconformist. And the more I thought about it, I got thinking, okay, so how do I renew my mind? How do I renew my thought process? You know how long it took me to learn to wear a seatbelt? I had to put it in that perspective, though. Now, every time I get in the car, first thing I do is put on a seatbelt. It's like that protection. So you have to learn to be able to protect yourself, to protect others. So that's how I had to renew my mind, is thinking about wearing a mask, about taking one with me. I mean, I still forget now and then. I still forget now and then until the little buzzer comes on the car and says, that passing your seatbelt light, doesn't that drive you crazy? But we all need them reminders, but we need to know that Paul even telling us, even as we gather together in churches, how do we need to remove our mind, to renew our minds? More so, I got thinking about this social distancing business. It's like, I hate not being able to hug Kathy when I come in the door. Or any of the rest of you, shake hands where you're getting paranoid about this stuff. So I think, okay, so now how can I change my thinking to think about how I'm going to renew my mind about this? I got thinking about corn. Bonnie was freezing corn the other day, and the neighbors had come up, and they're doing their thing about corn. And I got thinking, well, heck, this has got to be like planting a garden then. Right? You can't pile all the seeds one on top of the other. You got to spread them out, don't you? So if we think of social distancing as spreading out the good word, maybe this is God's way of saying, guess what? We need to reach more people, so I'm going to move you farther apart. Wouldn't that be a different way to think about it? Wouldn't that help us to renew our minds? And when in that fact, and when we do that, maybe that becomes an act of worship, doesn't it? It becomes our spiritual act of worship as being living sacrifices that spread us throughout the world. Something to think about. So as I thought about this, I got thinking about little situations the Israelites were having in Egypt when they read Exodus there. Think about what a living sacrifice is in order to give up something of value for something of more value. Think of Moses' mother. So the more I thought about Moses' mother, my mindset's going, it's like, wow, what was she thinking? She weaves a basket, puts her baby boy in it, and sets him afloat. How can this be worth anything? How can this have any value to her? How can this promote life? But in her sacrifice, she realized that by giving up her child and putting it in the hands of God, she was giving him an opportunity to live. Where if she didn't comply, she was definitely going to die. So she needed to live. She was compliant. She wasn't being a real nonconformist, even though in her heart she was, because she put him in a basket, but she put him in the Nile. Maybe we need to take that example when we look at our lives and figure out how we're going to be living sacrifices for Christ. Or maybe we want to look at his sister. Now here's a girl who is brave. She's braver than most. She's watching her baby brother float down the Nile, and maybe since she's working for Pharaoh's daughter, it's like, yeah, I'm certain in servants in that day, they didn't dare speak up much. But when Pharaoh's daughter picks up her little brother, says, what are we going to do? What'd she do? She speaks up. That could have got her head cut off. She could have been removed in those days. She was a slave, a Hebrew slave at that. Fortunate to be alive just because she was a girl. But yet she spoke up and says, I know a woman who can care for this child. And she brings her mother. She was offering herself as a living sacrifice. She was that little girl maybe who was standing in the offering plate we talked about to begin with. And then I truly look at people who are really a couple of that story that was really to be giving of themselves, becoming a living sacrifice. That's from Shipra and Pua. Think about that. They're under direct orders from Pharaoh himself to kill baby boys when they're born. And because they feared God, they offered themselves as living sacrifice and didn't do that. And when asked to why they didn't, they really gave an excuse. It was probably true. I know, as I thought about that, I'm thinking, well, they didn't do it because they feared God, but why didn't they do it? Well, maybe God presented them a way out, just like he does all of us. No matter how we sacrifice in our lives, how God gives us a way out, he provides a way so that we may live. God rewarded them by giving them families of their own. And think of this. And this is becoming a living sacrifice. How do we do it in our lives? How do we make a difference? And then he tells us we become these living sacrifices so that we can become one body. No matter what our talent is, no matter the positions we're given, we need to become one. In the sermon I wrote that you can read on our website on Sundays, I told the story about this one fellow who came up to sing, this tenor that come up to sing one Sunday morning, and he got out of bed on the wrong side of the bed, must be. He wasn't doing too good that day. He was kind of off key, his ears weren't working. I have them days. And so he started on a familiar hymn that everybody knew was in the hymnal, and he got to singing through the first verse, and people just couldn't take it in the pews. And so they get in their Bibles, getting their hymnals out, and they're looking, and they found it. The next thing, well, the next verse come up, and everybody just kind of started singing with them. Kind of like when Linda plays the piano here some nights. We all get to sing it together. Well, it was sounding a little better. Well, by the time the third verse come around, everybody's singing. By the time the fourth verse comes around, everybody's singing. It sounded really great. And the fifth verse comes around, everybody shut up. And this tenor that was singing, he sang the best solo of his entire life. And everybody's heart was just a pumping because they knew it was God at work. God using everyone in that congregation to become a living sacrifice, to give of themselves so they might become one body. That's what we're called to do. Become living sacrifices in all that we do. Paul writes, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions, so in Christ we through many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We belong to one another. We belong to one another so that we might become living sacrifices for Christ. For that will be our spiritual act of worship. Let's all pray together. Father, we do thank you for an opportunity to be part of your family, to become a living sacrifice for you. I pray that you touch each and every heart this morning in a way so they might know they are worshiping you in all that they do in their lives. We all don't do it the same way. We don't all speak up. We don't, for heaven's sakes, all know we preach to one another. But we do all have an opportunity to lend a hand, to give to someone in need, to uphold one another, maybe just in confidence. Father, bless us as you have so graciously done. Help us to bless one another and to become a living sacrifice to each and every one you surround us with. We ask these things and pray all things through Jesus, your Son. Amen.